Major Shepherd, reel 7.
Really? Some other girls of the SOE were killed practically at the end. This is the, well, they should have been killed before or after, but when you think they've been through the years we've been through, and suddenly at the end, for really unknown reason, they had been killed, it is even worse, I think. I was sent from Mauthausen to Natzweiler concentration camp as an NN in their organization. The German decided to group, to centralize all the condemned to NN, to disappear, in one camp, which was the Natzweiler concentration camp, which is now in French territory near Strasbourg, which was Germany. Mauthausen was one of the worst, as in the concentration camp organization there were three categories. Yes. In fact, right at the end, categories didn't mean very much, but there was category one, like Dachau, category two, which was in between, and category three, especially for NN and so on, like Natzweiler, Buchenwald, Auschwitz, Birkenau. And therefore we were sent as a little group to Natzweiler. In our group was Thomas Groom. He was member of the PET escape line, Pat O'Leary, today Dr. Geris, who took over from Jan Garrow in the PET escape line. I said Brian Sternhaus, myself. And we find ourselves in this camp in Alsace, which was one of the worst with Mauthausen. And there one day we saw four girls, well-dressed, fur coats, arriving. I remember I was with Brian Sternhaus, and there were four girls of our SOE organization killed the night they arrived, sent to the crematorium the next day. Everything was the same as before. They simply had disappeared in the camp. That was May, June 1944. They, at the very moment of Overlord and the landing in Normandy. But we didn't know about it. The life in concentration camp was a life for itself. We practically lived a life with habits, law, regulations, daily task, one of them being trying to eat something, and we were in fact far disappearing in the fog, it is true, far from the outside world daily life. We didn't know about the landing. We knew much later. We hardly believed it. Paris was liberated in August, and we didn't know about it. We saw many squadrons, American and Royal Air Force squadron at night, flying over Germany, and we thought that something was happening, but we had no proper details on that. It's only with delay that we knew, and we knew with uncertainty of what was going on. Suddenly we were told that the camp was going to be closed and we were going to be sent somewhere else. It was in September 44, and then in 3 days the camp was evacuated to, we didn't know, and we knew it when we arrived, to Dachau concentration camp. And this is where our little group of friends of SOE, we ended up this war, the 29th of April, 1945.
How did Dachau compare with the others?
I must say that Dachau has a tremendous name in the world. Dachau is a concentration camp like Auschwitz. Because it was a huge camp. But for us, if I may say so, old concentration camps warrior, after Mauthausen and Natzweiler, we find Dachau, we immediately, it was our reaction, in fact, when we arrived in Dachau, we said, ah, here there is a way of getting out of the views of the SS. It was huge, it was enormous. And we felt that there was not this daily pressure of electric barbed wire, of lights, of SS around the camp. We could live a little for ourselves.
You could be more anonymous.
More anonymous in the camp. But I think Dachau, at the end, and of course, for those who have only known Dachau, Dachau was awful. Commandos were awful. Commandos, this is outside work, were absolutely awful. The misery, the death, was exactly the same as in other camp, the same picture. But this is due to the fact that the last 3 months of Dachau, or 4 months, was covered by a typhoid or typhic epidemic. Frightful. People dying on the spot. Skeletons. Excrement everywhere. It was absolutely a living cemetery. Imagine a cemetery with bodies, and amongst this body, some start moving, or shouting, or want a soup, or even worse, fight for a soup. This is the daily life in camp. I think it is very, I don't think, without having lived in this, you can realize that the horror of four skeletons, practically naked, fighting, really fighting, knocking each other for a bowl of soup. It is the lowest grade, the lowest rate of the human being. And you cannot reproach these people to behave like this. You need a tremendous force of character to live through that and try and keep your dignity. We perfectly understood all these people. We managed not to behave like that, but it was sometimes very, very hard, very difficult. Came the last few weeks in Dachau, we managed to organize an international committee in order to safeguard the life of the prisoners in camp, with Pat, who is the highest rank in the British Army Dachau. So we always kept the regulation of the army. Pat O'Leary was lieutenant commander. We were captains and lieutenant at the time. He was the boss, and we, with a Belgium official, Arturo Lo, with Yugoslav, Russians, French, the famous General de Lestrain, who was the equivalent of Jean Moulin on the army secret, was there. I lived with him. I changed. We were practically on the same bed, up and down. He was the representative of the French. I was in charge with Brian Stonehouse of the security of the committee. We managed through that without having more than the others, but through that it gave us a way of fighting, of doing something, maybe absolutely useless, but doing something. De Lestrain was called for a fortnight before the liberation. He was shot. Brian and myself, we managed to disappear, really disappear in the camp. We were in block 24 and Brian in block 22. We had a friend in block 17, which was a so-called hospital block. It was a typhus block. And we disappeared because no one wanted to enter this block. It was too dangerous. And we thought if we disappear in this block, no one will come and fetch us in there. And we lived the last 10 days until the liberation of Dachau in there, in the misery, but in the hope that it will be soon. But even 10 days before, we didn't know the liberation was soon. It's only probably a day before that we heard the guns. We knew the SS had left, made other young SS in charge who didn't know much about it. We knew that the thing was going to change. And suddenly, in the afternoon of the 29th of April, we heard the guns, all the camp was quiet, and Brian and I, myself, we, for the sake of the International Committee to know what was going on, we went right at the corner of a barrack where we could see the entrance, and we saw the American at the door. Out. That was the end of a long war. Thank you.
Was there any temptation to take revenge against those people who'd been left to guard you at the end?
This is a very, very good question. First of all, why, what made them take this decision? All the guards in the watchtowers have put up white flags. So the American arrived, practically a rifle on the shoulder, and at firing range, the guards started shooting the American. So you can imagine the reaction of the American army. They retired, they attacked, and they got all the guards out of the range towers and shot them dead in front of the camp. That was the revenge. Not the revenge, it was the normal due reaction of a military who arrived, white flags, all right, we're going to talk, and where the firing distance they shoot. That's obvious. That's the only thing I saw, but it is not a revenge. Now, what we saw, and we shared all that deeply together, Brian and I, it's undoubtedly from the prisoner the will of revenge on the SS, and not on the, alas, on the SS, but between themselves too, with these Green Triangle, or even political prisoners who did not behave very well, and so on. And that was one of the tasks of the American forces and our International Committee to try and keep the people calm. But it was not easy.
You said that some of the Red Triangle prisoners behaved badly as well as
yes,
the Green Triangle.
Yes. Well, you know, living in this special world, one needs a certain character not to be bought by food or cigarettes or the SS who said, all right, if you do this for me, I'll close my house, you can have an extra. You know, the value of an extra bowl of soup, of this little plate I saw you full up with potatoes, it was gold. It was a gold mine. When you think we only had a bowl of clear soup, a little slice of bread and a slice of a false sausage. I understand the people who accepted things. When you have an empty stomach, and really empty stomach, it needs a lot not to accept it. But you see, the last souvenir of Dachau is an SS in the center of the camp. When the crowd liberated was running to the gates, Brian and I were the first, and we took the SS. We realized that he was going to be killed immediately by this crowd. We took the SS, both by the arm, and we said, you come with us. And we gave him to the American commander of the camp.
So he was saved.
And we are proud. of that.
You said about the organization in the camp. I think this is important because people don't realize that that degree of organization existed.
Yes. You see, the problem in the camp reaching the liberation, and even a little before, was to keep the different nations organized as much as we could with sort of liaison as head of each nation in order to avoid jealousy, fight, problems between the nation. We thought that it was important that all the different nations represented in the camp, whatever they were, could be informed of the situation through one of their representatives in order to have these groups of nations looking at each other as allies in the same cause and not enemies. Because without the same language, without the same education, culture, and so on, in such a world, it is extremely easy to become enemies by lack of understanding, which is the same today. If you have a bad interpreter, you can spoil the conference. The same thing. And we were lucky enough to, with our experience, as I must say, that we practically lived 2 years all together, the group of SOEs and Pat Lyon. With our experience, we knew about what to do. And it was a task we took over to do something useful and to keep our minds occupied by something. And it went on very well. Pat was elected international president of Dachau. And he's still today international president of the Dachau International Committee. And I am international president of the Mauthausen International Committee, although I did not take part in the Mauthausen organization, but in the Dachau one. But they, for what I did in Mauthausen, they elected me in Warsaw, Krakow, more international president of Mauthausen. That means that our little SOE left good memories everywhere we went through, I hope.